Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Important aspects of the transfer portal are the complete opposite beginning right now. Chuck Oliver Show on maybe the Tuesday. There are marks in time, aren't there? We look back and say, oh, that was 2 years before whatever event, or oh, that was 6 months after this thing happened. I think today, folks, even as tumultuous and upending and foundation-shaking as the transfer portal has been to college sports, but particularly college football, if you're not a college basketball fan, at some point, Heath will give you the numbers, the percentages of college basketball players who go, like, percentage of your scholarship roster who's then in the portal. College basketball can look at college football and say, hold my beer. It's a gargantuan. It would be like if 78 of every player on every, not just Colorado, like everybody left. But when I say the two most important aspects of the transfer portal, like right now, as tumultuous and upending and foundation shaking as the portal has been, what we think we know about it, it's been true the first 3 years or so, however long it's been, 3 years, 4 years almost. It's been true already, everything we thought. The two things I'm going to tell you. But they have already changed, and beginning today, we're about to see the effects. Here are the two most important aspects of the transfer portal for a coach and program who enters it and says, hey, let's offer a scholarship. Here have been the two most important factors that we all still operate with this today. What position are we looking for, and how much will he play? So, by and large, I don't know. If you get a kid, there are a lot of, like Jermaine Johnson, for gosh sakes. He transferred. The whole intent was, I'm transferring to go from part-time starter to full-time starter. Jared Verse was like, I'm at Albany. I need more. There are exceptions. But the big, 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 big majority of players that were in the portal, coaches would look at them and they would ask these two questions. What position are we looking to add to our roster? And then how much will this guy play? And I will say, these next three phrases, I ain't lying, probably 85% of the portal. We want a backup quarterback. You may need a starter. It just was really tough to hit the portal in May, because remember, it was May, like beginning of May to May 15th. And then the NCAA decided to move it up 2 weeks for their calendar, and it works for, I mean, there are reasons they did it, and that's fine. But when I say a backup quarterback, it's tough to add a guy in a May portal period and now these 2 weeks. Hard to do that and then have that guy just put a hammer lock on the starting job at quarterback. We've talked about this. Like, Nick Marshall did that somehow in that offense. Showed up in August, practiced like 2.5 days, and Gus was like, all right, he's QB. And boy, was that the right decision. That's an outlier. That's one example from 11 years ago. Does it happen other times? Sure. Does it turn out well? Not usually. And so by that late in the game, for the first four or whatever years of the portal, 5 years maybe? Because remember they had that, you could play four games and it's still a red shirt, and that's when everybody was like, all right, loophole. So this late in the game, getting a starting quarterback, even if you need a starting quarterback, you realized it's probably counterproductive. So we'll just get a backup QB. That was the first one, backup QB. What position will he play? Well, a backup QB. We need offensive line depth. Now, there was ever so often a guy like, do you remember the big kid? I'm going to get this wrong. Heath will correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was Ernest Anderson. Was he at Rice? And he was a left tackle and he decided to portal, and Auburn thought they were going to get him and a couple of other schools, and then he went to Texas. So ever so often, again, there's a kid like this possible Ernest Anderson. I'm pretty sure I got that wrong. Who transferred from Rice to Texas and then decided to leap to the league. Ever so often, there's a starter like that. Well, most times what you were looking at was offensive line depth. And then here's the last one. It was always another corner. All right, we need a third corner. We need another corner because everybody always needs another corner. Well, we need another corner. The first question was, what position are we looking to add? A backup QB, offensive line depth, another corner. None of that sounds urgent. And in most cases, trawling the portal, it hasn't been that urgent. The intent wasn't on remaking the starting lineup. See, and that's the second part. How much will he play? There were plenty of coaches whose priority was the two deep or the three deep, not the starting lineup. Think of the words I used. Backup QB. Offensive line depth. Another corner. Yeah, none of that's what's going on today. Like right now, as we speak, the two questions, what position are we looking to add and how much will he play? Both of those are about as different as they could be. What's going on today is not addressing the two deep or the three deep. Folks, this is the number one college football shopping spree of all time. And it far surpasses that thing that happened in Dallas back in, 88 or so? NCAA dropped the hammer and declared all 85 SMU Mustangs immediately eligible free agents. And it was feeding frenzy. Well, there were only 85 of those kids, and actually got the graduating class anyway, so there were probably like about 65 of them graduating. SMU 80s, the departing kids who had used up their eligibility. And so there were about 65 kids, good enough to be on a top 10 team out of the Southwest Conference. They played bloody your nose football, and there was a bunch of kids available. I had Jim Donnan on. He was the OC at Oklahoma, won a national championship with Barry Switzer out there. Said he got a call one morning from Switzer. He said, get to Dallas right now. I said, why? I said, come back with two players at least. Okay. Off to Dallas he goes, and there were some really good football players there. This is every player on every roster, potentially. So, yeah, this is better. This is the number one college football shopping spree of all time. This is that game show where you just put your arm on the counter and, like, run the basket under all of it as you go down the aisle. So when I talk about the two questions, what position and how much will he play, it was always the same three positions, quarterback, O-line, and corner, and it was always a backup, it was always depth, and it was always another. What's going on today, the position is now defensive tackle. Heath asked me something the other day, which I'd already talked about five times, about Brian Kelly going, we need defensive tackles, and how it's Guillory and was it Lee and like a JUCO transfer. Then they had freshmen who were good, but freshmen, and we're about to play in the SEC, so we need defensive tackles. And they got the transfer from Wisconsin. I said, they need at least two more. And he's like, now you talk about just muscle memory. That's what golf is. Like, if you stop playing golf for, I don't know, a month, you're lost. Muscle memory took over. He said, hey, Brian Kelly has basically announced, I'm going for one spot in the portal and one only. Chuck, what is it? He may have been lofting me a softball thinking I just heard him talk about this. And, of course, muscle memory. I was like, backup quarterback. Because that's what everybody wants. Offensive line depth, another corner. Fine answers, all of them. The LSU head coach has said just defensive tackles. That is it. Hashtag bear in the portal, not really. Because the position is now D-tackle, and those kids are realizing it, which is why Bear Alexander, oh, my goodness, I may get in the portal. That's the rumor. Where did that rumor come from? I'm staying at USC. Hashtag check cashed. So Bear Alexander, I'll give him, he's savvy enough to understand the market has switched. The most high-profile guy who made that move played what position? Defensive tackle, not quarterback. But regardless of whatever position, the hyper factor now is the second part. How much are we planning on this kid playing? And the answer is, if he's healthy, he plays. This is not depth. This is not another. This is not backup. This is, if he's 98.6, if he can fog a mirror, he's on the field. Because it's more starters and studs in the portal than ever before. And the folks with the bag don't have to tiptoe around no more. I used to somewhat joke back in the day. I'd always said very transparently, I mean, everybody knows where I went to school, but I said, I also try to be fair and evaluate. It's like, I really don't think Cam or his daddy got any money. I really don't think they. And then I said, and if they did, they probably didn't get enough. Because if somebody was willing to pay $180 and then he did that, I was like, he should have got paid more. But I didn't believe they got paid. I said he should have. I would joke somewhat. I didn't care if a booster loaded up one of those, you know, those yellow car carriers you see heading down the highway. I wouldn't care if a booster loaded up a car carrier with Escalades, drove to Belglade on a Friday night, started handing them out to Glade Central players and whoever was on the other sidelines. There was a radio contest my senior year of high school. If we play these three songs in order, at the conclusion of the third song, you had to be caller 94. Got your choice of one of these three, like high-end luxury cars, 25,000 grand cash in the glove box. I do that now. Escalade with a fat stack in the console, driving through Belglade, just handing them out to people willing to come on and play for me. You can do that now. You can get a kid for any reason possible. And I'm doing it in the portal as well. You know what Mike Norvell's realized? Keon Coleman's better than a fourth receiver for depth. Jared Verse, he's better than another corner when the opponent goes four wide. Mike Norvell decided long ago, I'm going to hit it when it comes to the portal. And he's built a resume that now is feeding upon itself. Hey, I've only got 1 year left. I want to vault to the league. Who does that? Oh, Norvell does that. So I used to joke about that stuff with high school kids. I ain't joking about it now with the portal. Why would I spend money, time, effort, resources, coaching hours, on-campus visits? Name anything I would spend on a 17-year-old high school senior receiver. And tell me why I would do that no matter who he is versus Keon Coleman. And I can't come up with literally one reason. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Jump into it next.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Consistency is the biggest thing that I've seen from him, and getting the chemistry and the cohesion down with the entire offensive unit. He's done a great job of leading the way from that standpoint.
Brent Venables, head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners of the SEC. I guess that's true now. He's talking about his current starting quarterback, who that's been announced. And he's played some, But Jackson Arnold is the kid, and he's a former, I think he was a five-star, and he's a kid out of Texas. And I don't know, you come out of Denton, Texas as a five-star quarterback, I'm in. Sight unseen. There are sometimes I don't need any more information. So Jackson Arnold, he winds up going to OU, and that happens. People in Texas don't really like Oklahoma, but that kid winds up going there. And he played some last year. He had a lot of action early in the season in a non-conference game that they won 73-0. It's what do you care in a game they won 73? They were 73. They might have been 73 points better than Arkansas State. The reason I'm wanting to skip over this, if he would have been 8 of 11, I would have said, all right, let's take a look at this. He was 11 for 11. That almost makes me dismiss the whole thing. If you show up in your first college action, you're 11 for 11, that's bully for you. That's kind of on the opponent. So he did play more, and in the bowl game against a feisty bunch from Arizona, there were some ups and downs. But Jackson Arnold, it's going to work. Okay, it's going to work big time with that kid. So I'm excited about the season, and so is the head coach, Brent Venables, there. There is a phrase NFL fans had to learn about 30 years ago. What is this, 31 years ago? College fans, your turn. The phrase that NFL fans had to learn was with the advent of a version of free agency, which if you want a convoluted way to not let players move around the league, go look up the NFL's free agency. It was called Plan B. Plan A apparently led to way too many players switching teams, so they went to Plan B. Plan B worked just fine for the owners, but then like actual free agency came later. But in the early 90s, 93, there was a phrase that NFL fans had to learn as sort of free agency was approaching. And because of the franchise tag becoming a thing, NFL fans who were looking at who they thought were going to be free agents, they had to learn the phrase, he's not really available. That would be referring to pending free agents in the league who we all knew would be franchise tagged and thus not really available. And I remember off seasons, I mean, Khalil Mack, there was a year with Alshon Jeffrey where my team needed a wide receiver more than anything, and I was desperately scared they were going to trade up in the draft and, you know, mortgage the future. And I was like, Alshon Jeffrey's going to be a free agent. And then a buddy of mine who is an agent said, yeah, that's not happening. He's going to be said there's no way he reaches free agency. And so after a couple of decades of that happening, I finally caught on. I was like, oh, he's not really available. Well, that has already been happening in college. And we've heard whisper. Haven't we all heard that? Oh, this guy's in the portal. It's kind of already arranged where he's like before Jordan Addison ever entered the portal. I've said I go out of my way to not hear rumors now, because if you're right and report it, nobody remembers you were first. And if you're wrong, everybody does. I was like, I'm not even interested in it anymore. When you hear a kid jumping into the portal, like during the middle of a baseball conversation off air, oh yeah, that, hey, by the way, you cover college football, don't you? I was like, yeah. I was like, that kid from Pittsburgh, he's going to USC. I was like, Jordan Addison, yeah, he's not in the portal yet, but yes, we all know that. Like, I don't even try to hear rumors, and everybody knew the details. And then Jordan Addison was like, my goodness, what's everyone talking about? Lincoln Riley was like, how dare y'all? And then he jumped in the portal and went to USC. So that's already been happening. I'm saying now it's blatant. It's the same as when I thought my team would get Khalil Mack or Alshon Jeffrey or any other stud who was mere days from being a free and clear, no strings attached, available player. But he never was, not really. That's Caden Proctor now. If you see Caden Proctor, he started at Bama. My team can go, no, because he's not really available. So like that last little part of NFL free agency, it's now here in college football. Hey, how's your Tuesday?
Yeah, you know, the thing is, too, a guy like Proctor, Chuck, puts it on there, just do not contact. So he kind of tells you, at least, hey, this is not a thing. I know where I'm going. We're obviously seeing kids in the portal today. There'll be a whole bunch more before this thing is through. They've got to get in by the 30th is the only restriction. They don't have to make a decision by the 30th. So, again, some of these sagas are going to play out for a long time. But a couple of things so far that are really interesting to me, Chuck. One is that Elijah Herring is in the portal, led the Vols in tackles last year as a sophomore with 80 tackles, and he is going into the portal. There's different combos of what leads to a kid being in the portal. Sometimes it's the classic, it's not going to happen. You're not going to make it up the depth chart. You want to play. You're probably not going to strike it rich, but you just want to get somewhere where you can get on the field and play, and maybe you'll get a little NIL bonus from somebody. You never know. There's those guys. There's the ones who are really obviously doing it for a check. Just, you know, hey, I've been good. Time for me to go somewhere that could treat me better on the bottom line.
I need a bag.
Yeah. And then there's ones like this. And this is the ones that are always interesting to me. Because, again, he led the Vols in tackles last year. Yet the word out of Knoxville seems to be this is more about the idea that he's getting passed on the depth chart. Kind of like Dumas Johnson with the Dogs, that, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
You might not be a starter next year. You're a good player, maybe, but you're maybe not good enough to be a starter. And so a guy like Herring, apparently, what they saw out of the Vols linebackers, he might not get near as much of an opportunity this next year. So he's moving on in the portal, it looks like, to find a different opportunity. Those are the ones that really intrigue me. The guys that almost are going to kind of go somewhere and have something to prove and have good game experience. Because that's the thing. So often, You're getting that guy from an Alabama, Tennessee, that kind of program that's a high-end SEC program. If you're getting a guy off their depth chart, it's a guy who hasn't played. This guy's played. That's an interesting name in the portal. I'm curious to see where he winds up.
Yeah, it's the new profile. It has been a lot of depth and additions and et cetera, like we were talking. And like Jamon Dumas Johnson, you brought him up. The guy's a stud. He's a future NFL player. And guys being pushed. There was an LSU defensive back coming out of COVID, I want to say, that declared for the draft because he realized, oh, I'm getting passed on the depth chart by a freshman. That was the only option you had, was to, quote, opt out and prep for the draft. Now at least you have an opportunity to transfer somewhere and find a new job. It is worth noting to look at a kid who may transfer from a place like LSU, quote, down in program. See where that goes.
Now back.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
The Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Who's the Chuck Oliver Show? And we are talking college football and a little bit of, I guess I'll say, departing college football. Because guys that have had their last game on Saturdays and are now heading to the league get game checks and pensions and, you know, everything that comes along with that. It's important, and we want to know where our favorite college players are going to be for the next couple of years or their career. And to start down that path, we'll bring on right now our regular Tuesday visit with Dave Bartu from College Football Matrix. Dave, how you doing today?
Dude, I am doing great. It's a beautiful spring day out here, and draft is just around the corner. Now, I got a question for you, though, right? And it's really more for everybody listening. But you just mentioned your favorite player from your teams, right? And I wonder, with the transfer portal, so many guys moving around, are we going to have
as many 3- and 4-year guys that hang around at one program. You know, they create kind of a legendary status. They've been there. They've been at Bama and Georgia and Auburn, and you know they've been here the whole time in Florida and Ole Miss, Mississippi State. They're career guys, and they create a legendary status at a school. I mean, how many of those guys are really going to be around anymore in the era of football free agency? It just feels like that number is going to shrink, and the excitement about individual players is going to wane.
It's what Dave Clawson sort of pointed out, and he was a little clumsy about it, but he was direct. Turns out that Notre Dame was hosting Wake Forest on their senior day, and Dave Clawson watched a guy he coached for 4 years who threw 110 touchdown passes at senior day, and Sam Hartman starts, like, tears welling up, and he's waving to the Notre Dame crowd. He's like, you've played 5 games in front of them. And so you're 100% right about the idea that this 3-, 4-, even 5-year guy will be hanging around. It's totally different. That's already changed. And I'm thinking, like, in almost a funny way, though, it may save us from getting more, like, and I'm talking as fans, from getting things wrong about the draft, because we see these guys that excel in college and they become our, quote, favorite guys, and we think that means that they can excel in the NFL. Well, we've talked about that on the show forever. It's not the numbers in college. It's how you assemble those numbers that the NFL wants to know. And so we see these guys. I remember Chad Lavallee at LSU, and I watched Glenn Dorsey at LSU as well. And I see these guys, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're going to be great NFL players. It doesn't really matter what the numbers are on a Saturday in a lot of cases.
No, it really doesn't. I think one you and I've talked about it ad nauseum is the numbers for being a quarterback. I think the numbers on Saturday, you know, yards, completion percentage, all that crap, I think that's exactly what it is. It's crap. It just doesn't mean a darn thing. You know, the most important thing is, does your ability translate to the NFL?
Yep.
And we've seen a ton of guys where people go, well, that wasn't a very, you know, he didn't even have a winning record. You know, he didn't throw for a ton of yards. You know, look at Josh Allen. You know,
you've even talked about how part of the masquerade of huge numbers is it gets the OC paid in a promotion sometimes to be head coach.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's the biggest thing. You know, the great quarterback in college has made more money for head coaches and offensive coordinators than anything else. Probably combined. Look what Teddy Bridgewater did for Charlie Strong's career.
Yep. Absolutely true.
I mean,
all right. Let's talk about now ahead of the draft. You and I were texting a little bit about interesting metrics, and you were talking about the difference between athletic and non-athletic reasons for guys getting drafted. And I guess it's things that we can explain and point to and measure and quantify versus just the eye test sometimes, maybe.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we did inside the numbers over the last couple of years, it was kind of a challenge. One of the GMs I was working with in the NFL, we were talking numbers one day, and the idea came up of, is there a minimum level of calculated athleticism by position that you need to be in the NFL? And his goal, okay, so his goal was, how do I get better at grabbing the diamonds in the rough, the undrafted NFL free agents, drafting in round 6, drafting in round 7. So we're looking at all the numbers, and they were great 1 through 5, but 6 and 7 undrafted free agency, it really fell off. And so the idea was, can we create an athleticism test for the NFL using their numbers to come up with kind of a baseline? Right. And I know this doesn't surprise you, but we did. We came up with a way of grading athleticism. Now, granted, they had to do all of these, you know, exercises and tests and 10, 20, 40 yard dashes and broad jump vertical. But all of that is math. And so we came up with a minimum score to be an NFL player. And it turns out that round numbers, 96% of everybody in the NFL meets the minimum athleticism
number. It doesn't matter what their stats were, right? It doesn't matter 4, 5-star, 3-star, 2-star, 1-star, Division 1, 2, 3. None of that mattered. None of that mattered. 96% of everybody in the NFL was at least a 70 or better in our scale.
Can I tell you where my mind goes as I'm listening to you explain that? It's not whether I draft this player or this other one in the first round, because if it's two guys I'm considering in the first round, they clearly will exceed whatever your, you know, thresholds are. What where my mind goes is, if I have Dave Bartu's material, this can save me from, quote, wasting or throwing away, like a 96% chance of wasting a back-end draft pick on a guy that I can look at who may be outside of the threshold and go, no. There's a 96% chance that this guy does not make it. Let's take someone who may. Like, that's where my – like, you could save a team draft picks at the end of the draft.
Exactly. You were just dead on with what we wanted to do in the NFL, right? Two goals. Always in our data, right? Because, you know, I've said it a million times. I tell stories with numbers. But the two important parts of our numbers that we always try to do for our clients is, number one, create efficiencies. And number two, reduce acquisition risk. This does exactly that, right? So if I got a GM in the NFL and he goes, okay, Dave, I got 189 guys from their pro day and I got all their numbers. And I can go back to him and say, well, here's the score on everybody, and out of 189, there's only 73 above a 70. Now he doesn't even need to look at the other guys.
Yep.
Right? There's no film, no time. You're not wasting any time on all of those guys. So massive efficiencies. And we know that he, right? You can see the path I'm going down, right, brother?
When you're talking numbers, statistics, probability, when you get to the 96th percentile, that's stronger than garlic, man. You don't even question it. You go, no matter what, this is what we don't do. We don't draft a 5'9 quarterback, no matter what his numbers were. We're just not going to do it. You know, I was looking at Clark Phillips last year. I think he came out of Utah, and he was at like 5'8.5", 5'9", maybe whatever he is. And I was like, no matter how athletic that guy is, it's 1 in 100 who can succeed at corner in the NFL. And an NFL team took him with a mid-round, like fourth-round pick, maybe, I want to say. But I remember looking at it going, that kid has to be the outlier for this pick. Like, you kind of painted yourself into a corner, didn't you?
Yeah. What was his name again?
Clark Phillips III.
Clark Phillips. Let me see if I have his CAT score here. I don't see. I have 3,000 guys in here.
Tell you what, we'll take a break, and we will come back and talk a little bit more about this whole thing, and then get into some coaching changes around college as well. We're going to take a break. Come back with more Dave Bartu next.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
How rude. Tuesday on the Chuck Oliver Show, and I was not very Southern at all. I didn't even really introduce our guest. I was like, hey, it's Dave. Let's talk to Dave. All right, everybody, Dave's on. When I say he is CFB Matrix, he's got a laptop. He knows how to program it, and so he can take whatever your widgets are, whatever your resources, whether it's human resources, hours, money, whatever it is, and he will help you allocate it, spend it better based on what your outcomes are, what you want to do. I need to improve our punt coverage. Okay, I can help you do that. I can tell you the likely outcome. I need to help you improve our run defense. Whatever it is, he can do that. Dave, welcome back to the program. You are CFB Matrix. Is that a general description of what you do?
Yeah, that's it. Like we said, it just tells stories with numbers. Right. That's what the main goal is. And obviously for clients, like I said, is we're trying to create efficiencies, reduce acquisition risk. That's it.
And also talk about who employs you, because this time of year, it's always interesting because there have been times you've said, oh, I'm going to be at the combine talking with GMs or coaches. I'm going to be with an NFC East front office next week. Talk about who all on Saturdays and Sunday talks to you.
Well, right now it's mostly assistant GMs in the NFL is who I'm dealing with, and not so much anymore. We've gone through the process. We've gotten all the data. We've scored everybody for athleticism. So all of our clients really have their seventh round targets done. They got their undrafted free agents targeted through us. And then right now with the portal opening back up, free agency opening back up for college, yesterday through May 25th, it's kind of cool. It's kind of a dead period right now, man. It's pretty quiet here at the Matrix.
It's like being an accountant. You get to April 15th, you get to exhale. So I was telling you about Clark Phillips III. He's a kid out of Utah, 5'9", 183 pounds, and he was a fourth-round draft pick last year, and he looked, when he was healthy and playing, he looked uber-athletic and 5'9". And there are just things. I mean, at some point, NFL receivers started looking like MMA fighters, and it's a tough matchup despite being really fast and athletic and everything else. So he was the kid that I was bringing up.
Yeah, and for him, for us to put a CAT score on him, he had to do all of the exercises at the combine. So unfortunately, more and more guys aren't doing that publicly. So we have to get it privately from our NFL contacts, like at pro days and so forth. But it's a fun process. So I don't have a score on him. But while we're on this, I'll give you one guy that I really like in the numbers, 2024, super athletic, one of the most athletic linemen in the draft. He's actually pegged as a fourth or fifth round guy, Bo Limmer at Arkansas. And I know we're kind of going off path here a little bit.
Do it, brother.
But this guy has the third highest overall athleticism grade from the combine. And so I was just in the break, I was just, you know, it's like, okay, I want to find a guy that nobody's heard of that isn't a first, second round, third round guy that has massive athleticism. So we're going to put a pin. So this is official King of College Football, Chuck Oliver show, Diamond in the Rough, Bo Limmer. Put a pin in him for next year. His athleticism tells me this guy is going to be a multi-year starter in the NFL. He's got a fourth or fifth round grade right now. If he's healthy, that's a big question mark. I don't know his health. But his athleticism is top five in the draft this year for offensive linemen. I really like that guy right off the top of the chart.
Could I ask you, and I don't know if you have it at your fingertips, but maybe you can, because the draft isn't until a week from Thursday, so you'll be on again before then. Theo Johnson, the Penn State tight end, recorded like something like, I don't know, the third or fifth most athletic tight end performance at the combine maybe ever. And so he's somebody that has looked really intriguing despite, again, as we talked about earlier, his production took a nice bump in 23, but it's still, I mean, he's a tight end at Penn State with a first-time quarterback, and they ran the ball a bunch. So the numbers were not eye-popping, but he's a kid that really stood out athletically. So I'd be interested.
He did, but see, he didn't do all the tests. See, this is one of my beefs with the combine is if you don't do all the tests, you don't know full athleticism. You know, anybody who says, "Oh, he looked really athletic."
Yeah,
looking at and calculating it are two totally different things. So he actually didn't do all of the work, it appears, at the combine. So I don't have a full athleticism grade on the guy. He probably did great in a couple of numbers.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one Penn State guy that stands up in my mind who did everything, Michael Parsons did everything at the combine in his draft year. Do you know who was the highest graded player that entire draft from that combine? Michael Parsons. He was at 89.13, top 25 athleticism since 2000. That was absolutely a rock star guy coming out of college.
And I remember the story being, wait a minute, he's how big and what did he do? And it was a guy that size was moving at what speed? Let's talk a little college OC a little bit because There is a, and we have to admit, I mean, this is about money because you got budgets like everywhere else. You got budgets with your assistant coaching pool. And so where you spend your money matters. Garrett Riley, $1.75 million, and I totally endorse the hire a year ago. I thought it was fantastic and good for Dabo, you know, stretching his legs a little bit, going outside the program, and they broke off, you know, $1.75 million, so they're spending. But then there were no results there. Tell me your breakdown, your dossier on Garrett Riley, because it was supposed to work. They were worse on third downs. They scored fewer points. They didn't have fewer turnovers. They had the same, I think it was. It was supposed to work, and it didn't. So tell me where Garrett Riley falls with you.
Well, number one, before he was hired, his grade was top 10 in the country as an OC. Okay? So when he was hired, the euphoria, from our standpoint, it was good and bad, right? You got to look at the good side and go, wow. You know, if you're going to spend money on a risk, that is the guy to spend money on, right? And we see coaching the same as player acquisition. Fans will be like, hey, always try to get the best player, right? Best player available, always try to get him. In our opinion on the coaching side of it, we're also trying to get the best coach available every single time. So if you're going to spend that kind of money on an OC, that was the guy to do it on. But on the flip side, turning around an offense in 1 year that was that bad is incredibly difficult. You know, just because a guy has run an A-plus offense for, let's say, five straight years, now he's on a new campus with a new roster. And look, when something goes down, it takes pretty much an equal amount of time to come back up. So while it was a great hire, expecting a miracle turnaround, is you're setting the bar too high. You know, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Can I also say that it's another example of I'm spreading blame around here. I'm not going to treat the quarterback like a pinata, but it shows the inordinate impact that a quarterback has on the outcome of almost every single play. And I don't know what Cade Klubnik is now as a quarterback. I thought I did because he's a five-star coming out of Texas and he's going to Clemson, so that means he's going to be great. And that is not true. So the quarterback, I mean, I saw Rich Rodriguez at Michigan. The plays worked. He didn't have a quarterback. Yeah. All right, let's go to, as a matter of fact, stay in the SEC. And it's always that, how much credit can I get? And for a guy like Jeff Lebby, he was like, yeah, I need to go somewhere where the head coach isn't Lane Kiffin. Tell me your flyover of Charlie Weiss. Is he concerned about getting credit? Is he, because he's co-OC for a team that's head coached by Lane Kiffin. So tell me about Charlie Weiss, what you think about him.
Well, I mean, as an OC junior, at Ole Miss, nobody's getting credit. Nobody's getting credit for being the OC. Anybody getting credit for being the OC at UCF? Heck no, right? No. I mean, you know, so, I mean, there's just, I think, what's the funniest one? Oh, Kyle Flood at Texas.
He's OC. That's right.
He's the OC. And I would give Texas at least three extra losses if he actually was the OC. But there's just certain guys that are, we know they're calling the plays. Lane's calling the plays. Gus's calling the plays. Steve's
He's
calling the plays.
He's getting $1.65 million.
Maybe they're just really good buddies and you want to give, you know, make his buddy earn a lot of money. That happens all the time, too. So I don't know. I mean,
you say that because they're boys from when Lane was calling plays in Tuscaloosa, and then when Lane got the job at FAU, he hired Charlie Weiss as his OC there. I think that overlapped that way. So
yeah. You know, it happens all the time, right? And so it goes back to being a buddy hire. And now he's 1.6, now you're really good buddies. Right. And that's cool. You have the power to do that. And if that's the way the head coach wants to spend his budget, more power to him. But Charlie is not going to be calling the plays,
Kyle Flood's getting 1.3. All right. Tell everybody how to get in touch with you, brother.
Always the text line for your fans, right? Your listeners, 971-217-8419. And specifically, if you have a athlete, boys or girls, 8 to 18, and you want a CAT score adjusted for their age, just like we do in the NFL, hit me on the text line, 971 971- 217-8419. We're going to do it that way until our app is published.
CFB Matrix on Twitter. If you missed any of that or you want to get more direct contact, you can DM him. But again, he's got the Twitter. You can listen to it on the podcast as well and get in touch with him. Listen to that part where he gives the number again. Dave, appreciate your time. We'll do it in 7 days.
Thank you, bud.
All right. Dave Bartu, he is CFB Matrix. He's got a laptop. He writes the code and all the numbers come out. And he can say things like 96% of the time, this will work, or 4% of the time, this will work. Like, which one of those would you want to lay down on the side of? So that's the kind of information you can get from Dave. All right, going to wrap up hour one, take a quick break, come back, more conversation next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right, which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.